Morning.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing good today. Even though we're supposed to be expecting today.
You broke up. What are you expecting?
I think we're probably supposed to be getting rain in the forecast because it looks real like overcast outside.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you didn't say like a tornado or something.
No.
Like, ah! Oh, goodness.
Well, I think we're supposed to be getting cold temps this weekend too.
Oh, like really super cold?
Yeah, probably like a deep freeze, like in the low 20s.
Oh, okay. That's not very normal for you all.
Well,
that's
my housemate Paul leaving.
Oh, hi, Chris and Canstays. Hi, BB49.
Morning, everyone. Well, and I think another podcaster on here might drop by today under the How Girls Snarl name. That's Derek from the Unsupervised podcast that's on before the old name.
Nice.
And we're on IBP49. Who's this Gina Joe from the old man's podcast? Who's that?
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm trying to clear my throat.
Yeah, we can hear that.
Well, I can't mute it. If I mute it, I kill the music.
No, it was just funny that you said that. Hi. Hi to Gray.
To Gray.
See, I knew he was going to do that. He didn't do it all, the whole thing.
What?
You should go, hi to Gray.
Hi to Gray. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say like you. Hi to Gray.
Hi, Rocky Dell.
excuse me. Hold on.
Out of control.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show. Coming to you live.
Oh, I didn't see you live.
From across the United States of America.
Howl, growl, snarl.
Howl, growl, snarl.
Welcome. Oh, he did it.
Good for like you. That. Welcome, everybody, to the show. It's good
Welcome
to see
to
you.
Coming in.
People we've never Hi, seen Jess. Before. And then we have our favorites, Jess Duck. Hi, Jess Duck.
Hopefully, J Baby might show up.
If you're new, give us a follow, please. We'd love it. We really would.
Oh, man, my mustache.
You haven't followed us.
My mustache has gone crazy in that the hairs are kind of curling up and tickling my nose.
Oh, pluck those things. Good grief.
I know. I need
Hi, Cubella.
Stop eating it. I know.
You
it gets to the
in.
Point where you're eating it, you're drinking coffee, it's all got coffee in it and all that stuff. And then I chase
you're
Grammy want to give
stuff
her a
for later. Like the squirrels.
Yeah, eating the birds.
Mm.
Hi, Cubella. Good to see everybody. Well, so today is definitely Thursday, right? Today is Thursday for sure.
Yes, I know. You put on that thing yesterday, and I'm looking at it, I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, wait a minute. It's not Thursday, is it? No, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. I labeled yesterday's show Thursday when I posted it. And then I posted it. I published it. I got it everywhere out there. And then I noticed it, and I went, wait a minute. Today's Wednesday. And I went, I ain't changing it. I've done
Sounds
that.
Like everybody's getting their days mixed up.
I know. And we didn't even have a holiday.
I don't know how many times I've done that in the past. And then I was looking at the shows I posted, you know, and I usually post the number. Like today is show number 439.
Uh-huh.
Well, on Monday and Tuesday, I guess I didn't put that. I didn't put what the show numbers were. And I'm just going, what am I doing? I'm losing my mind here. I'm losing my mind at the control panel.
You're losing your marbles.
You I've lost
your marbles.
I've lost your marbles.
Nice to see you.
Hey, if you're not familiar with the WESN Epic Strategies Network, you should be. Get used to it. Download their mobile app to get it to your phone. They're a station that they have great music and provocative conversation. And the good thing is that the old man's gonna. I got together with Ralph, and we're kicking up the Tom's Blues Hour. We got. I'm gonna be putting together a radio show, a blues radio show, playing nothing but the blues, And we haven't determined on a day yet, but I'm starting to put the music all together and all that stuff. And it's going to be a weekly. Well, it's I'm going to make one show a week, and it depends on, you know, Ralph may insert it through the week in other time slots. So you'd be able to hear it through the week. You just turn it on and see it in the schedule and go, oh, look, there's the old man's blues show. I'm going to listen to it and listen to blues music and that kind of stuff. Pretty kind of fun. It's all going to be pre-recorded. Just not just like our old show. Not a lot of talking, but a lot of music. So I'll keep your eyes out for that and ears out for that. Get that mobile app and listen to the music. I was listening to some of their reggae this morning, some of Ralph's reggae. So exciting times. Good things are happening. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love putting music together. So there you go.
Good for you.
Well, good. You don't have to be so excited, Dina Jo.
Well, I could have not said anything. Okay, I take my good for you back. Who wants a good for you today? I have one to hand out. I'm not giving it to the old man.
Oh.
I take it back. Well, come on. You're supposed to say, oh, thanks.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Like that?
Yeah.
Just fun times. Fun times.
Andy Young, welcome.
Andy Young, yeah. Good to see you. Andy Young. Hit that follow button. So, the weather's Eric was saying it's going to get cold in Georgia. It's warming up here. It's 51 degrees outside right now. I don't know what the heck's going on with the weather. It's crazy. I saw this interesting thing on TikTok. There's this guy, this young man from England. He's a nuclear physicist, I guess. He's a real smart kid. And he's always talking about physics and that kind of stuff and things that are going on. And he was talking about last couple of shows about how the we know that the Earth rotates and we know that the Earth leans towards the sun and back from the sun. But the Earth is like a gyroscope, and I've been saying this for decades. And it not only does it go, you know, spin and go front and back, but it also wobbles. Because if you look at a gyroscope, you know, if you spin a gyroscope and you look at it, it does those motions, it spins and it moves forward and backwards, but it wobbles. And the Earth wobbles. And he spent these two movies talking about that.
Welcome, Mr. A.
I'm telling you, really interesting stuff because I've always contend that the atmospheric stuff that goes on, the climate, the weather and all that, not only is it affected by the things here on Earth, like, you know, like the jet stream, but it's also affected by how the Earth wiggle-woggles around. You know, wiggle waggles around in the universe. And that's what he was saying. He was bringing it out. He was talking about that. So really interesting stuff out there. You should look up this stuff and study it. It's is that the technical term? Yes. Wiggle waggle. The Earth is on a wiggle waggle. Wiggle waggling. Yeah, that's the technical term. But it's really fascinating stuff. You need to, you don't need to. I'm just saying, you don't need to. But if you want to find something interesting to read and study about the stuff that's going on around the solar system and that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's interesting. And now I hear also that there's some of these satellites out there that are floating around. They're, you know, Dana Jo, was it you that was saying?
Yeah.
We have this asteroid that's going to asteroid's going to zing by the Earth, you know, like it never happens. It happens all the time, you know. And, but apparently this one satellite out there that's got a camera on it might be able to catch a glimpse of this thing going by. I mean, we're not talking like it's as close as the moon. It's not. You know, it's out there, but it's gonna be interesting. So a lot of fun stuff. All that wiggle waggle and fiddle daddle. Yeah, that's it. All the wiggle and waggle, fiddle daddle that's going on out there. Just hit us and get over it. Yeah, get it over with. Yeah, that's what I was telling Dina Joe. You know, they're always saying, "Ooh, here comes it! It's coming! It's gonna be it's coming!" You know, and I told her, I says, "What would they do if one was really heading this way?" I mean, not just passing by, you know, not just passing by a few, you know, tens of thousands of miles away, hundreds of thousands of miles away from the Earth. But what if they looked up and said, uh-oh, you know, I don't think they'd tell us. I really don't think they would say anything. You know, what are you going to do? You know, I would go right to the impact point and just watch it come. Mm-hmm. That's about all you could do. That's about all you could do is just sit there and watch it. You know, hey, look, check it out. You'll never see this again. No, we wouldn't. You know, but yeah, interesting stuff. Just interesting stuff. And then they find out. They say, "Well, why haven't
we?"
I was reading this one thing. It says, "Why hasn't the Earth been hit by, you know, big stuff? You know, and Jupiter." And Saturn, their gravitational pull within our solar system plays a lot into, you know, deflecting these stuff away from our solar system. I did not know that, but it's all fascinating. Get back into reading about the solar system, you know, read about what's going on, read about the Milky Way. Other stuff going on out in the universe and that. I tell you, it's really kind of a humbling thing because you realize just how puny we are compared to everything, you know.
Welcome, I saw this server.
This guy posts this picture of the Milky Way.
Welcome back, Blue Rock.
And he says, can you see where the Earth is in the Milky Way? You know, it's like, no. He goes, so really, if it wasn't there, you know, who would even notice? Well, we would because we're on the Earth, but it's just all perspective. It's all perspective, but it's out there to make us wonder. I always felt like what are the heavens out there for? What are all the stars and all the planets? Why are they out there? What's going on? Why is that? It's out there to make us wonder. It's out there to make us wonder and to be at awe and to ask questions like, why and how come and that kind of stuff. I really think it is. You know, the old scientists back in the pre-Renaissance and the Renaissance stage, they just go outside and just look up into the sky and wonder why. And unfortunately, because of all the light pollution that we have in the on the Earth today, the light pollution and everything, we can't see the sky like they used to be able to see the sky, like the sky really truly is. You'd have to go someplace where there's no light and look up, and we would be totally awestruck to look up into the sky and see the Milky Way. We would be awestruck, you know, how beautiful this sun is. And in reality, the night sky is the natural sky. You know, it's the natural sky. When the sun hits our planet and we see the blue sky, and that's not natural for stuff in space. You know, it's not natural. It's not natural. The light, the light reflecting off the planet, you know, and that kind of stuff. The more natural is the night sky, and it's it's just awesome. everything looks better in the dark, right, ladies?
I think to see the night sky clearly, you have to go somewhere where there is minimal to no light pollution. But the places you wouldn't want to be where there's a lot of light pollution are Las Vegas here in the States. But the one place, you know, globally, you know, with the worst light pollution is Singapore.
Right. Hey, yeah, Abhi, I see you trying to call in. I I don't really feel like taking any calls right now, buddy. And then plus two, I'm not really, I don't really know you. I know you're a follower, but what do you want to talk about? What do you want to ask? What's just throw me a little blurb in the chat room. What's going on? and then we'll see. I run a tight ship on taking calls. I only really take calls from people that I really, really know. Only because, you know, we're a family friendly show. We don't want people to get on and I don't want to have to disconnect you. I don't want everybody to think I'm mean. So let me know what you want to talk about. I am not. Mm-hmm. Good grief.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Where are you listening from? Tell us a little bit about you in the chat room. Probably from India, Southeast Asia, something like that. But anyway, good times. Good times. Want to welcome everybody to the show. Welcome everybody.
India. Oh, we got plenty of friends in India.
From India. Yeah, we got a lot of followers in India. A lot of followers in India. Want to welcome everybody to the show worldwide. If you're downloading the show and you're listening to this later, hi. Thanks for downloading. Good to see you. Hit that follow button. Hit the follow button. Man, we're kind of stuck. We're stuck on a number. We're stuck at about 15 away from 2,000. We can't get over that hump. We're on a plateau. We've hit a plateau.
I see.
Do people ever, do kids even learn about plateaus and mesas and all that stuff in school anymore? I know that was the kind
what
of stuff that we
learn
learned.
What do they learn in school anymore? I really don't know.
I don't know. I have
they
no idea.
They take away so much, you know, from what it used to be. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Hey, I want to ask everybody out there if they've heard of this guy in this book, because I'm thinking about getting it because it sounds extremely interesting. The man's name is David Goggins. He what service did he do? Military, United States Air Force, Pararescue. Yeah, Pararescue. Let me move my screen so I can see. United States Pararescue. The book is called Can't Hurt Me, Mastermind and Defying the Odds. And it sounds very interesting. And I was wondering if anybody else. No, he's not. You're out of control this morning.
Tanner wants to know if he's a Navy SEAL.
I don't. Oh, yes.
Hey,
he is related. Wait a minute. He is you're right. He is a retired United States Navy SEAL and former United States Air Force Tactical Air Control Party member who served in the Iraq War. So yes, Tenor, he is.
So he was both. He was in the Navy and in the Air Force. He was in the Navy and the Air Force.
He is a runner. Yeah, that's what I've been reading. He's a runner. Oh, he is a psycho. So is this book? No. I like the idea that he has. He has this idea that I've heard that somebody was telling me about. And that's why I wanted to ask if anybody, you know, had read this book. And it's called The Cookie Jar Method. I don't know if anybody else has heard that. Yeah. G-O-G-G-I-N-S. I-N-S. G-O-G-G-I-N-S. That's his last name. Yeah. Hi, Mama Bear Tracy. And it's talking about how, you know, when you're struggling, how he talks about putting your triumphs and your victories from your, you know, when you have them, when you triumph over something or you have a victory or you have overcome an obstacle or challenges that you've overcome something, you put it on this paper and you put it in a cookie jar, or you could write it in a journal. Same thing. And then when you're having a really crappy day and you're trying to get through something and you don't think you could do it, you can look back on all of those things that you have overcome in your life that you didn't, when you were probably going through it, didn't think you were going to be able to make it through. Some of the things are very challenging and you did. So he talks about that. Interesting. Not psycho in a bad way. Just doesn't believe overtraining in his... things would hurt a lot of people. Okay, gotcha.
But then Drag down there says this book was great. Tough upbringing.
Okay, all right. So, see, Mama Tracy Bear, you need to do it exactly what I was just talking about. Yeah, you need to have a hi, Dan Hasselhoff, welcome. Have a journal, or if you have an old cookie jar, I guess you can put them all in there if you want to physically take something out and write down those bad days and when you've overcome it, you know, and you didn't think you were going to make it through. Then you can look back on those days and say, hey, look, I am a tough cookie. I can get through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Hal Grousnar. I wrote myself a $1 million check when my first novel was published. That's 14 years and a dozen works later, I still can't cash it. Oh, sorry, Hal Grousnar.
Oh.
Did Grace book? Says he's keeping a book. I'll keep you posted.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you really? I don't know.
And I don't know. I'd like to read De Grey's book.
I don't know. How could it scream at you? It can't yell at you. I mean, you know, there's a lot of intensity in his podcast. Not screaming at you. Intensity, I should say. He's very passionate about what he believes in. So how do you?
Yes, general chit chat. General chit chat, Abhi. General chit chat.
Oh, it's fictional, you goose. Okay, I just wondering.
You know, we've always been proponents of people.
Write it all caps. I know.
We've always been proponents of people to keep journals. I mean, you should write a journal. You should keep journals. You know, they used to call them diaries in the olden days, but now they call them journals.
Well, because diaries, you were writing about who you were in love with, who you were secretly in love with, and nobody was supposed to know. Yeah.
You're in the chat room, my friend. We can read everything you sat, and we'll respond to you in the chat room. I mean, written confessions. Nah. Oh. But yeah, you know, you should write journals. You should write a journal and keep, just so you know, at the end of the day, you just write down little things that stuck out in your mind that from the day, you know. Like that lessons learned or good things that happened, positive things that happened, good things, even bad things, you know, write down some bad things, you know, because remember, we learn from yesterday. We learn from yesterday and we live for today.
Oh.
And we plan for the future. Confessions to murders. Oh, De Grey. Man. You're becoming.
He's out of control this morning.
He's becoming the dark. How old am I? I am old.
He's old, man.
I'm 68 years old. 68 years old. Woo, baby. I was thinking, it's funny he asked because I was thinking about this morning. I was sitting there and I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm knocking on the door 70 years old.
I know, Abhi. That is young. It is.
Because I'll be.
You're only as old as you think you are.
I'll be 69 this year.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
68.
And I think Randy's 68 got young coming up next month.
That is.
What's that, Eric?
I think Grammy's got her birthday coming up
next
month.
Yes, she sure does. February
3rd. Yes, she's got a birthday next month. February 3rd.
Show up
it's on a Thursday.
Hi, Outside Normal. Thursday. Nice to see you.
We make sure to have fun with her on her show. We'll have to make sure we get her up out of bed, wake her up so she could come have a
thank you. Ali.
Have a birthday show with her. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Outside of Normal, good to see you. So, Dina Joe, what kind of bot?
Well, I have a question for you all. Okay, think about this.
Okay.
If you could get stuck in one place, if you had to be like locked, stuck, okay, in one place for a whole weekend, where would it be? And like, I will answer first. I was first thinking the mall.
Welcome, John, Father Gill.
But then you would have to break into all those stores because they would all be locked up. So that wouldn't be a good place. So my place would probably be Target. Just because they have, some of them have beds. They have clothes I could try on. There's usually a Starbucks in there with a deli so I could make food, and they sell food, so I'd have all the food I needed. I'd have liquids to drink. I could try on different makeups. I'd have you could go in the toy aisle and go down on a skateboard and go all the way down the aisles and stuff. It'd be fun. Where would you want to be? Ralph would want to be Dick's Sporting Goods. But wouldn't you get hungry for the whole weekend?
Oh, they got
stuff. Get hungry in there. Like snack bars, protein bars. Protein bars and water.
That, and, that kind of stuff. I've thought about this. I've thought about it in the context of a...
Oh, yeah, that's true. They do have that dehydrated food. Yummy.
I've thought about it like in the contents of a, you know, some kind of apocalyptic thing happening. Where would you want to go? And me and Grammy both decided that we would want to go to a Bi-Mart.
What's that?
A Bi-Mart. It's like a, well, you got to, it's kind of a club member, a member thing that you got to go to. And it's kind of like a smaller version of a Target, because it's got electronics, it's got food, it's got guns, ammo, it's got all kinds of camping gear.
I didn't think about guns and ammo. Might change it to Walmart then.
It's got all kinds of stuff you got in there. camping gear. It's got all kinds of stuff in there, and that would be the place to go. We would pick a...
Hi, Area 81. I think Walmart would probably be better than Target because... They'd have everything that Target had, like I said, but you're right. They would have guns and ammo.
Gotta have guns and ammo.
Yeah. Okay. I changed mine to Wally World then.
Walmart. Does Walmart sell firearms? I don't know. They do?
They do. Mm-hmm.
Target stopped selling Walmart firearms, right? the Playboy Mansion.
The store. He wants to be locked in the Playboy Mansion. Yeah. How did I not figure that one out?
Unfortunately, nobody else wants to be in there, so he'd be in there all by himself.
Except for what's all in the grotto, in the water. What's that grotto out there in the back? Go out there.
He'd be stuck in the Playboy Mansion with all the other guys that want to be stuck in the Playboy Mansion. All the playmates and all that would leave because they'd want to be stuck at Bi-Mart or Walmart or Target.
Right? I know. Now that their person died, I mean, now they can get out. So they can see the real world.
Well, he never really was running things anyway.
No,
he never was.
Oh,
he turned it all over
running
to his
around.
Brother.
Oh, you're so funny. Yes, I was thinking about that too, Ralph. I was thinking about Disneyland because you get to ride on the rides if you wanted to. It's the happiest place on earth. But where would you sleep? I guess you have to include a hotel there, huh?
Yeah, but what are you going to do if there's no power? See, those things take electricity to run on. So
supposedly, if you're talking about all of that, there's a whole city under the DIA airport. So
that's
I'm
what
closer
they say.
To that. That's what they say.
Yeah, is there really
a city under there?
Is there really though?
You want to be stuck in my kitchen, DeGray? I put your butt to work, man.
Whoa. Is there really a city under the Denver airport, though? I mean, has anybody gone down there? Does anybody know for a fact?
Well, do you think that they're going to let you get down there? No, they're not going to let you get down there.
But did anybody that built the airport, did anybody go, oh, yeah, I remember working on that. Oh, yeah, we built
there's
this
all
whole
kinds
big thing.
Hi, PBG, there's all kinds of weird stuff there. Lewis's mom, before she, well, probably, let's see, 10 years ago, she worked at Frontier Airlines. And to get to Frontier Airlines, you know, you take those trains to get to all of where all the airplanes are. But
the
Frontier,
terminals.
Thank you. But Frontier, there's a walkway that instead of taking the trains, you can take a little longer walk and you go over this walkway. Well, they play like Indian, like chanting music,
tribal music. Yeah.
Yes, because. Supposedly, part of where they built the airport was an Indian burial ground or something. I don't know. So there's been all kinds of stories with the Frontier people in where their things are of like ghosts and music coming on when it wasn't supposed to be coming on and stuff like that. Yeah. Yep. So, and then I told you about all that, like there's pictures in there and there's like this mural on this one wall and it literally has people with masks on their face and like gas masks and stuff. And then there's gargoyles sitting on top of luggage on the entryway when you're out and where the luggage package things are when you're going out. There's these two gargoyles in this one that you go in and out of. But you have to look at them because they're only in this one spot. They're not everywhere, just this one spot.
Yeah, when we were flying out, you know, we had talked about it. You, me, and Grammy and Lewis had talked about all that. And it was so crowded and we had to, to make sure we were going in the right directions and all that. We didn't really have a chance to look at all that stuff except for that big fire-eyed horse that's on the outside of the airport.
Yeah. And that one, I told you, killed the guy, the man who was making it, the artist who was making it.
Yeah.
I think like a week or so, I don't know. He was almost done with the thing and it fell on him and crushed him and killed him. And his son had to finish it. And it looks like the devil horse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
There with his bright old red eyes.
And it's huge.
It's a big blue stallion on his back hind legs. And it's got these bright red. And at night, they glow. These red eyes glow. It's creepy. Yeah.
This is the Denver International Airport. And it is really a crap hole of an airport. I mean, that thing is the
They are always, airport. Always, always construction inside that airport. And it's not that old.
It's the worst airport I've ever been in. But I think that's why it's got all that evil floating around it. But back to my point, has anybody actually proven that there is some kind of city underneath that airport? I mean, that's what I want to know. Has somebody ever really proven that, you know? Or is it just a myth, you know? I don't know. That stuff's fascinating, though. Fascinating stories. But when we were going home and we were on the we dropped the car off because you have to drop the car off, the rental car, way away from the airport, and you get to take a bus back to the airport. And on the bus back was like we happened to look out the window from the bus and there's that big old horse. Yeah. And both me and Grammy both went,
yeah. I know. I know. And then, it's just always.
Hi, Crash. Good to see you.
Constantly. I mean, and it doesn't make any sense because, like I said, it's not that old of an airport. And they spent so much money on it. It should be, it should be nice. And then it's like half the stuff is closed and it's always like that. It's terrible. And the fact that you have to take those trains, is that the only airport that you have to take trains to get to the terminals?
No, it's not.
It's a question mark question. Okay.
It's not. I've been in other airports where you got to take a train to get from one terminal to the other. But I will say that is the least organized airport that I've ever been in to get from one terminal to the other. Yeah. It's a mess.
It's one of the biggest international airport and it's a mess.
I was totally shocked how messed up that airport is. Yeah. I mean, when we left your house to go home, we had like almost 3 hours before our flight, we left. And you only live 20 minutes from the airport, something like that. You know, so we jump in the car, we go. We got 3 hours. I'm thinking, oh, piece of cake, no problem. By the time we dropped the car off and by the time we got to our seat, were at the gate to catch our flight home. We sat down. Okay, here we are. We sat down. They go, now boarding flight for Portland, Oregon. I mean, we used up that whole almost 3 hours just dropping the car off
nice
and getting
to
the
too,
gate.
Josh.
That's
Hi,
how
Mr.
crazy
X-Fi.
It was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy, you know. So if you're planning on flying in and out of the Denver airport, make sure you really do give yourself time to get there. Otherwise, you will miss your flight. Totally miss your flight. Oh, and then when we got there.
Oh, there you go. The angels are calling. This is
it's just as bad when you land. It's just as bad as when you land. I mean, trying to get to your luggage, and then, you know, you're fighting. You are just fighting the crowds. Mm-hmm. It is so crowded. You know,
this is one of the pictures. It talks about one of the pictures there. It says one of the most memorable of these pieces of a large green soldier of sorts with an eagle symbol on its hat, a bayonet-tipped gun, and a large curved sword in the other hand. Underneath the soldiers are signs of poverty and distress, a woman clutching her baby and a child sleeping in ruins. Viewers of the piece state that it appears to represent themes of future military oppression and one world government. Yeah, that's in the baggage claim. That one's in the baggage claim.
That's in the baggage claim. Welcome to Denver.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got to admit now, on the other side of the coin, you find the Portland Airport, Portland International, PDX. I got to tell you, Portland has got it together way compared to Denver. Portland's not a bad airport to go in and out of. It really is compared to Denver. I mean, that's not bad. That's not a bad big airport. I mean, I think San Francisco's easier to get in and around that airport than Denver. Good night. I'm serious. I've been into a lot of airports, Houston. I think by far up to that point of going to the Denver airport, up to that point, Chicago for me was the worst airport to get around in. I mean, it was just Chicago was bad. Denver beats it. Denver absolutely beats it. Well, I think, see, it Jess says, I have no issues navigating. But yeah, but you live there. You live there, Jess. And I think that's why you've probably been in and out of that airport quite a bit. You know where all the pig paths are and how to get in and out and around about everything. And you know where all the dead ghost bodies are lying and you know what graveyards to slip through. And
we always know that, like, we haven't done it in a while, but like if Lewis, last time he was picking me up from there, I get my luggage and I go up to departures. And I don't go into arrivals because arrivals is a mess. But if you go up to departure, sometimes it's less busy. Yeah. So
that's what we do here, too. That's what we do here. We go, And
I have to correct myself real quick. They are not gargoyles on top of suitcases. They are demons with their head holding their heads in their hands, sitting inside an open suitcase. That's what it is. So it's not a gargoyle.
Well, that's worse.
Hi, T-Mac. Welcome to that.
So we went from gargoyles sitting on the luggage to demons being in the luggage.
Yeah, that's so cool. I don't want to be putting out the wrong information out there.
Oh, chihuahua.
I know. And then they talk about the bunkers. Underneath.
Outside of that, though, my worst experiences were Dallas-Fort Worth is not a good airport either, Jess. I agree with there. But Chicago, what is up with Chicago? And my issues
O'Hare?
Yeah, my problems with Chicago wasn't so much the people getting from one, you know, from there to security to luggage claim to, you know, to your gates. That was relatively easy. It's spread out, but it's relatively easy. But good grief, I never caught a flight on time in Chicago. It's always delayed. Nice, it's delayed here, delayed there. Switching planes, switching gates. You know,
right. I only went out of there once and it was delayed. And I had to, it was going to be delayed a day. And then they put me on some other flight. But I had to get to it in like 20 minutes and it was up and on the opposite side of the airport. And I was like, running to go get it.
On the airport's defense, a lot of it's because of the weather. They got weather delays and all this and that. And so whenever I did have to catch a flight, they would make me a flight. Okay, we got you flying out. Where am I going? Well, you're flying from, you know, you're flying from Portland to Chicago. No. Fly me to Houston. And I'd rather go to Houston and then to New York than to Chicago, New York. And then coming home, I wouldn't mind coming home into Chicago if I could get there early. If I got there early and get in and out, that's fine. But if you had to wait until say 11 or noon on, you're stuck. You are not going to get out of that airport. And we were stuck. We were stuck there all day one time waiting for our plane. And it you know, the planes were delayed. And then the one plane we had come in, something was wrong with it. We had to jump from one gate to another terminal. And we finally, and the thing, it wasn't just us. It was the flight crew too. The flight crew was being bumped and moved everywhere, all over the place. So when we finally got to the plane and the pilot comes on and he goes, you know, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. We're finally getting out of there. We should have been out of there at noon. We're getting out. He goes, okay, look, I'm telling you folks right now, we're get buckled up, get in your seats. Get buckled up. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. I'm telling you. I live in Portland. I am not staying in Chicago. One way or the other, we are leaving this airport.
I mean,
he was just determined. He was determined to get us out of there.
Man, I don't know if you've ever had their winters are, whew. But my dad was, I stayed, I don't know, maybe two winters and two summers out there during times with my dad. And he wasn't far from the O'Hare Airport. But, man, were those winters out there brutal.
Yeah. I don't remember what airline degree, but it could have been just the airline. But
Hi, Dark Bear.
Hey, Dark Bear.
Nice to see you.
In my career, my working career, I did an awful lot of traveling, an awful lot of flying around.
Hi, John Gale.
I was always on
the
road, so I got to see a lot of airports. The scariest airport I was ever in, Heathrow in London. I was in Heathrow
really?
In London. And when now this is after 9/11. So I'm in Heathrow. We're going to fly home. We go there. We're waiting for our plane. And you know, there all these people walking around with automatic weapons and dressed in army gear and all that stuff. I mean, that was kind of scary for us. You know, and I needed to throw something away. I had some trash I needed to throw away, and there was no trash cans. No trash cans anywhere in that place. I go, hey, there's no.
That makes sense.
Where's the trash cans? They go, no, there ain't no trash cans, mate. That's where people put bombs. Oh, yeah, that was scary. That was scary.
I just want to put Moco field tissue in it. That's all.
Yeah. Man, but. Flying. And now I don't like to fly. I don't like to fly. I had to really, fly.
Well, you didn't like to fly in the first place.
No, not really. I didn't. I didn't like airplanes. I didn't like airplanes because, with my job and my career I was in, we did a lot of aerospace inspections and that kind of stuff. I saw how airplanes are put together. Not that they're put together bad. They're not. They're really well built in that. But it's like, you know, you have this concept about, you know, airplanes. And I walk up the steps to go into this airplane and it's stripped of everything. There's nothing in this airplane. There's no internals, nothing. And there's no paint on it. And I walk through the entryway to go in this airplane. And it's like, wait, what? And I went back and looked back and forth, back looking down the airplane. I'm going, are you kidding me? The skin on this airplane is only like about 60,000 thick. I mean, there's nothing here. It's just thin metal that's all riveted together. And I started to see how they're put together, and I got scared. I really got scared. I go, well, no wonder that there's nothing left of an airplane when it crashes, you know, because there ain't basically anything here. And then to put the icing on that cake, I'm at a meeting with Pratt & Whitney, the big engine manufacturer that makes the big Pratt & Whitney power packs that go on airplanes and all this and that, the big engines. Uh-huh. We're sitting there talking to the CEO, and he goes, okay, well, I want to thank everybody. But you know what gets me is, you know, when people are flying, you know, what do they worry about? What do you worry about when you're flying? He goes, you worry about if your plane's
Welcome
on time, if you're going to get, you know, get a meal. You know, what's the weather like?
Hi,
you know,
Kingzilla. That,
he goes, that's the stuff you worry about when you fly. You know what I worry about when I fly? Is this engine going to fall apart? Is it going to stay? And I went, what? You know, that's the stuff you worry about? So then I started worrying about that stuff because I inspected engines, airplane engines, and I started worrying about that. Hope we didn't make a mistake. Did we buy off all the good parts? You know, oh man, it's just a psychological thing is all it is. Psychological thing. And then I got these people in this one airport, they're talking, you know, the safest place to sit in an airplane is, you know, in an airplane is, you know what it is? You know what it is? I go, no, what is it? He goes, over the wings. That's where it's most structurally sound. Over the wings. That's where the plane is structurally sound. I go, well, that's true. I go, but do you know what you're sitting on when you're sitting over the wings? He goes, well, yeah, the wings. I go, no, the fuel tanks. You're sitting over all that hundreds of gallons of jet fuel because that's what they use the wings for. MD. How do you speak to a guy?
Speaking
to us right now in the chat room.
In the chat. That's really awesome.
Right now in the chat room. That's where we talk to a lot of people. So, oh, it's all good. It's all fun. Oh, man. I mean, it's like as far as the safest place to sit in an airplane, there is none. Okay. There, I got that out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, thanks. John, I don't fear flying. Thanks. I fear falling from 30,000 feet. Hey-oh. Wow. Whew. God, got that off my chest.
Whew, all right. Well, you know what? Can you breathe now?
Take a break. Take a break, old man. Ooh.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock.
You know what time it is?
Rock.
My time.
It's time for Dina Joe's Today in Music History. So get out there, order yourself up a couple of cheeseburgers with fries and a couple of root beer floats to wash it down. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the hostess with the mostest, Dina Joe.
No, we can't hear you, but we can see what you're typing in the chat room.
Chat, yes.
So Dina Joe, when you sent me playlist, I was never so thankful in my life.
Oh,
I'm listening to these songs. I'm going, oh, these are such good. Oh, I like these songs compared to what we were going through.
Oh, I know. It's nice. So, big difference.
I turn it over to you.
All right. Yeah. We're going back to this day in music history for a couple days. And then Monday, we'll be starting that other playlist that I have that I will tell you guys about. Anyway, this day in music history, Thursday. The 20th of January, right? And it is Thursday.
Yes.
Not yesterday. Okay. So I want to make sure I'm on the right day. Okay. The first one on our list, we're going to go to the year 1968. John Fred and his Playboy band's Judy in Disguise with Glasses hits number one. The song is a takeoff of the Beatles' Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. This is a parody of that song, which the Beatles released a year earlier. Instead of the psychedelic song of the Beatles, Judy in Disguise is a bubblegum pop, but with similar obtuse lyrics. According to John Fred, John Lennon loved the song. He said, when I met John Lennon, that's the first thing he asked me. He thought it was great. He said the first thing he was going to do when he got home was write a song called Froggy in the Pond with Spectacles. Here is John Fred and his Playboy band with Judy in the Disguise with Glasses. Hi, Karen. We got Karen. Welcome.
Hi, Karen.
Oh, I've heard it. I remember this now.
Oh, yeah. It's a famous song.
Judy in the Sky.
Oh, yeah. Judy in the Sky. John Fred and his Playboy.
That's so funny. I never, ever thought that was a parody off of the other one. I never thought that.
I didn't either.
68 to Gary. I didn't either.
But I always thought they were saying Judy in the Sky. Judy in the Sky, not Judy in Disguise.
Disguise. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the grade was a negative 13.
A negative 13. You're a youngster.
That's a good thing. Hey, real quick before to the next one. Islam guy, are you there? Are you still there? Hey, it says, what do I need to do in order to talk to you guys like the way you're talking to each other? Well, we're talking to each other because Dina, Joe, and Eric are co-hosts of the show. So we have a direct line connecting to them. That's why we're talking together. But we don't...
Hi, Shannon.
We don't take phone calls from people that we don't really know. So we need to get to know you. So how do we get to know you? Through the chat room. Chat it up in the chat room. Talk to people in the chat room. Type in.
Make some friends.
And we'll read what you're typing and we'll get to know you that way. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Number two in our list would be the year 1969. Elvis Presley records In the Ghetto. This song is about poverty. No, duh. Describing a child who can't overcome his surroundings and turns to crime, which leads to his death. It was the first song Elvis recorded with a socially conscious message. It was the first... Okay, no, he was... You distracted me, old man.
Okay. Sorry.
I had to look what was going on. I had FOMO there for a minute. He was reluctant to do it for some reason, but knew it would be a hit. This was written by Mac Davis, who was entered the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2006. At the ceremony, Davis explained, I was trying to come up with a song called A Vicious Cycle. How a child is born, he has no father, and the same thing happens. The word ghetto became popular in the 60s to describe the poor parts of town. A friend of mine, Freddie Weller, who used to play guitar for Paul Revere in the Raiders, showed me a lick on the guitar one day, and I went home and fiddled around with it and wrote the song and called him up at 4 a.m. and sang it to him. He knew it was going to be a hit with that lick. And here we go. Here is Elvis Presley with In the Ghetto.
Mac Davis was a great songwriter. He wasn't a bad entertainer either, kind of a country singer.
Really?
Yeah.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto.
This is from his album, Elvis, Live from In Memphis.
And his mama cries. Cause if there's one thing she
in the ghetto
don't
by Elvis Presley. You know, you just can't duplicate Elvis Presley's voice.
No.
I mean, has anybody came on the scene as an artist and you go, oh, he sounds just like Elvis Presley? No, not that I'm aware of. I don't think anybody has come on his, oh, look, that's another Elvis Presley. No, there's only one Elvis Presley, people, and that's him. In the Ghetto. Good song. That is a good song, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It really is. All right. In 1977, Jimmy Buffett releases his 7th studio album, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes, which features his signature song, Margaritaville. That's where my Nana lives in Margaritaville.
I love this song.
She lives in Margaritaville in Texas. Peaking at number 8, the tropical theme track remains his highest entry on the Billboard Hot 100. Buffett wrote this song in Key West, Florida, after he'd finished a tour with his group, the Coral Reefers Band, but had just toured Texas, and Buffett spent some time drinking margaritas in the Mexican restaurant with friends before going back to Key West. When he got there, he sat on an old Anchor Inn watching gridlock on the road and used an inspiration as he composed the song. Here is Jimmy Buffett with Margaritaville.
This is a happy song.
Yes.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake.
Jimmy Buffett. Margaritaville. I couldn't even say it. Margaritaville.
Strumming my 6-string.
That's a good song. It's like I said, it's a happy song. I knew a girl in high school whose name was Margarita.
Margarita. Yeah.
I think we were calling her Margaritaville just to goof
just
around
to
with her.
Make her mad.
Anyway.
And then you pulled her ponytails and ran.
Oh, well, you didn't want to do that with Margarita. She was a tomboy and she'd kick your butt. She was tough cookie.
That's funny. That's where we went when we went to Texas. That's where Nana lives, in Margaritaville. It's a community, and there's a hotel, and there's a golf course, and there's these little restaurants and stuff, and all the streets have Margaritaville names, I guess. And then they can drive in their little golf carts around there. It's funny.
Nice.
Older people. Nice. Yeah, it's fun. Anyway, yeah. The fourth on our list is the year 1982, and this is about Ozzy Osbourne. While performing at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Des Moines, Iowa, Ozzy Osbourne bites the head off. Hold on. Okay, sorry. The head off of a bat. Plastic bats had been tossed on stage at Osbourne's shows many times, and when Osbourne sees another flying up there on that night, he assumes it is to
welcome fake. Coffee drinker.
He's wrong. Osbourne bites the head off, clean off of a real bat. He is rushed to the hospital for rabies shot. Alive or dead, the bat becomes a piece of Osbourne's legacy. So much so that the rocker later complains that the continual reminder of the story by the press and fans alike has chased and annoyed him all his life. Here is Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, he hated
with
it.
Bark at the Moon. Hi, Truck Cat. Meow. I got the drink. Meow.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to talk to Ozzy Osbourne, don't bring up the bad
Crush.
He doesn't like it. Hi, Crush.
Bark at the Moon. Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, he hates that story. I've seen several documented things on him. And yeah, don't bring up the bat. Yeah, Sharon. Yeah. Exactly.
And the shots he had to have afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay, 1983 brings us to Def Leppard releasing their third album, Panorama. The album is sophisticated and a transfer from Def Leppard, from their initial heavy metal sound to their more radio-friendly music of later years. The lead single, Photograph, gets them on MTV, where they fit right in. Rock of Ages, Fooling, and Too Late to Love follow, and Def Leppard launches their first headlining tour of the U.S. Here is Def Leppard with Photograph. Welcome back, Crash.
Hi, Dave.
That was a fast breakfast, Crash.
I love this
band. Oh, it's a cute song. I know.
This is from their album Paranormal. Pyromania. This is from their album Pyromania.
Dang, isn't this list so much better? Oh my gosh, you guys.
Now, there's one thing that I believe, and it's what irritates me about Def Leppard.
What?
Is that they are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why? Why isn't Def Leppard in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Don't get irritated with Def Leppard. Get irritated with the other people.
No, I'm not. I'm upset with the people that put these bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These guys rock, baby.
Listen, what was the last 100 songs we just went through? That's who I'm sampling. Yeah. So there you go.
Oh,
you have to fight it. This is so much better.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yes. The year 1990, Miss Marsha Griffiths with the Electric Boogie. A Jamaican singer, Marsha Griffiths, half of the 60s duo Bob and Marsha, and a member of Bob Marley's famed backup group, the I3s, covers Benny Wailer's 1976 tune, Electric Boogie, in the 1982. It soars to number one on the Jamaican charts, but with Marley's death the year before, the record execs in the U.S. aren't putting much stock in the reggae genre, and tune never makes it off the island. After being revived by a Washington DJ, The Electric Boogie by Jamaican singer Marsha Griffiths peaks at 51 on the Billboard Hot 100, and the electric slide line dance craze sweeps the nation. Here is Marsha Griffiths with Electric Boogie.
It's electric.
They stop playing reggae just because Bob Marley died. That doesn't make any sense.
You would think it would be the opposite.
Yes, it would.
Ooh, it's shocking.
I love reggae music. Ooh, reggae music is love. You gotta know it. Marsha Griffin.
Woogie, woogie, woogie.
Woogie,
woogie, woogie. Woogie, I don't ever remember hearing this song. That's so funny.
I know. Well, remember, they wouldn't play reggae music.
I don't know.
I mean, what was it? While he was alive, they felt like they were obligated to play reggae music. And then when he died, they go, well, screw it. Now we don't have to play it anymore. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
understand. You would think that they would tribute him and they would play his music more often. But yeah. Hey, Glenn. Yeah. Hey, Stinky Dad. Welcome.
Go Kraken. Go Kraken.
Glenn's okay. Glenn's got another podcast that he does on the Seattle Kraken. It's a great podcast. You can find it on Spotify. And I can't remember the name of it.
I Tentacles thought you had a twitch or something. I was like, what is wrong with you? All of a sudden, go Kraken, go Kraken.
No. Anyway.
Okay. So lastly on our list today is the year 1998. Paulus Cole's I Don't Wanna Wait. Dawson Creek is a coming-of-age drama following a group of North Carolina teens debuts on the WB with Paula Cole's hit I Don't Want to Wait as the theme song. It was an unusual at time for the show to use an existing hit. It just took it over, Cole explains to Song Facts interview. It gave it a new life for another younger generation, and that generation wasn't aware of the fact that I had a career before that, really. Here is Paula Cole, I Don't Want to Wait.
Oh, wait. Oh, finger slipped.
So open up your morning light and say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are...
Is she related in any way to Nat King Cole or something like that?
No relation at all.
I don't think so at all.
By Paula Cole.
She had two babies.
This is from her album
six
called
plus one was three.
This
and
Five.
And the 45.
Hi, Mike Tampa Bay.
Hey, Mike.
I Don't Want to Wait. Paula Cole.
Yes, and that's the last of our on our music for today. We'll do that again tomorrow, this day in music history. And then on Monday, we're going to have a list of 30 fascinating early bands of future music legends. And it's pretty cool. It's a cool list. Believe me. It's nothing like the last one we went over. This is a good one.
Well, thank you for this. This was a great change from what we just went through.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Woo-hoo. We're done.
I still applaud you all for being there for us for that 100 time, you know, all those 100 songs. Thank you for being there and sticking through it with us.
Yeah, thank you for allowing us
thank
to
you
torture
guys for
you
show.
Like that.
No
I
kidding.
Mean, it was bad. Yeah, I know it was just terrible. So hey, I want to tell you, if you are a fan of hockey and you like hockey, like I said, Glenn's got a new new podcast out. You can find it on Spotify. I don't know, is it on Podbean, Glenn? I'm not sure, because I listened to it on Spotify. It's called Tentacles from the Deep. And it's not just the Seattle Kraken's podcast.
It's on hockey.
It's on hockey, you know. So he does a great job. Give him a listen. Go to Spotify, pick him up, listen to him, rate his, give him 5 stars. Just check it out, man. Yeah, I like the name. He went through a name change. Mm-hmm. I like that, Tentacles from the Deep. That's a great. So good podcast. If you like hockey, I do. Check it out. You know, we got this little group of people on Twitter that are, you know, from around the country that are, and in Canada that are Seattle Kraken
hockey fans. And I mean, it, the Twitter, it lights up during a Kraken game. I mean, we're in there, we're talking about right after something happens, we're talking about it. And when the period's over, it just gets blasting. We're communicating in there. I got to tell you, it is so fun. I make sure when the Kraken game, like we got a game today and a game tomorrow, I make sure my phone's all charged up and it's sitting there waiting. You know, and then as soon as like a goal is scored or something, we're all in there. We're all just tweeting away. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So that being said, Glenn's a part of that. Thanks, Glenn. This is just a lot of fun. A lot of fun stuff out there. Man, this has been a fun show, Nita Jo. Eric.
Yeah.
It's been a blast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it has.
Have you drank a lot of coffee this morning?
No, actually, I've only had a half a cup. I mean, I've got my coffee cup right here. Look, I'll show it to you. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah.
It's only half cup. It's only half done.
See that? Yeah. Wow.
And it's not a double drip batch either.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just still in you, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's good, man.
It's good coffee. It is National Coffee Break Day.
What?
I know. Remember the other day it was National Coffee something day. I can't remember. Gourmet Coffee Day. Today is National Coffee Break Day.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
I'll take a refill over here, buddy.
Take a break and have some coffee. Or tea if you don't like coffee.
Hey, Ralph, did you try that double dip stuff? I mean, that double drip?
Ralph, don't try the double dip stuff.
No, do it, Ralph. It's good. I'm telling you, the double drip, not the double dip. You said try the double dip stuff.
And I'm like, no, Ralph, don't try the double dip
double
stuff.
Drip.
Try the double drip stuff. I know, but some other people might not know what you're talking about.
I know. He listened to that show and he sent us a message. Double drip? Seriously? Really? And I went, yeah, man, that's good stuff, man.
He didn't Don't send double us dip a message. Chip. He didn't send us a message. He sent you a message.
Yeah, us. Well, he sent it to the show.
Mike, what are you talking?
It to the show, it's to us. What?
What is that language he's talking, Mike?
Oh, it looks like he's making a happy face.
It's supposed to be like a picture or something. It's supposed to be like a picture. Yeah, it's like some kind of, stare at it long enough.
Okay, those are eyes.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something smiling. I don't know. It looks kind of like that face from
that one Star Wars movie
with the little bears.
I won't tell you what it looked like when I first looked at it.
He walks, yeah. And now he's made a bigger one. Okay, Mike, man of many talents.
It did not look like a face.
I don't think I could do that. Yeah, hey, and he's got the little whatever.
Hi, Duchon.
Good time. I just told you.
See? That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, you're right, Nita Jo.
When you first look at it. It looked like boobies to me. It didn't look like. I was like, what is he making a picture of? Oh, my word. Hi, dude. John.
We've gone off the edge here.
Oh, Lord. That's why I was like, what in the world? Hey. I do need my eyes checked. I really do.
I've got another little clip here I need to try and see how it sounds.
Oh, that looks like a race.
I'm not sure if it's going to be loud enough or not, but here we go. Let's try. I'm going to see what this sounds like over the podcast. Here we go. Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, that looks like a little person with their hands up. Like what?
Yeah, like so what?
Like what are you talking about, boobies?
Like what?
What's up, boobies?
Like what? You talking to me? What? Da, 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 da,
da, da, sticking the tongue out.
Oh, I thought that was a big nose. And what's your answer? And your answer is?
Oh, he's angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, it's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, and then after Friday's the weekend. Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, Chikay, you missed it. Yeah. You missed it, Chikay. The answer is boobies. Yes, Ralph, you got it.
And the answer is boobies. That's Ralph William for the win. Ralph William for the win.
Ralph Williams and Dina to for the win. Yes. We're a team there on that one.
Oh. Yes, it is.
That was funny. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, you're going to need to, let's see here. What do we got here? Let's see. So when I finally get this music, the old man's, hey Ralph, I was thinking of changing the name of the show again because I have the old man. It's Tom's Blues Show. I want to change it to Tom's Blues Hour. No, Tom's House of Blues. I don't know, Ralph. I can't make up my mind.
You just need him anyway, to pick it and put it down, or he's just going to keep changing it.
Ralph's learning how indecisive I am on things. I just, you know, it's like, what? So
well,
this is a sample.
Indecisive, of stuff we're gonna be... or you want it to be a perfectionist?
Yeah, kind of a perfectionist. This is a little taste of what our first show is going to be about when I finally get it together and we get it going. I've targeted a date to be the 28th, on the 28th. But this is a little sample of the kind of music we're going to be playing on my head.
So download the WESN app to your device so you could listen.
The album, the song is Riding with the King from the album Riding with the King. Yeah, what I'm going to be doing a little bit different with this show is I'm actually going to be playing full albums. So the first album that we're going to do is Riding with the King. B.B. King and Eric Clapton, and it's gonna be a blast. We still got some little things to talk with Ralph about, like scheduling, what he wants to do with it, because it's Ralph. Ralph is the owner and operator of the WESN Epic Strategies Network, and it's just growing. It's growing, and he's got a lot of good music on there. I was listening to reggae this morning before. Dina Joe interrupted me and started messaging me. I mean, she just,
I got the receipts, everybody. It wasn't me bugging somebody else. It was somebody else bugging me.
Exactly. I know. I'm guilty as charged. Guilty as charged there.
Welcome.
So anyway, it's going to be great. It's going to be good. Hey, if you're new to the show, Hit that follow button. That way you get notices of when we're live. And and if you're downloading the show later, thank you very much for all the downloads. We really appreciate them. And remember, you can catch this show again. As with every other morning show that we have, you can catch the replay at 11 a.m. Pacific time on the WESN Epic Strategies Network. Download that app for your phone. And or go to the website and listen to it there. Either way, it gives you a connection to their webpage, and you can see what's coming up. It has a full week of schedules of shows coming up and that kind of stuff. And it's just excellent. Or, like you said, if you've got Alexa, you can ask Alexa to play the WESN Epic Strategies Network. I mean, and it should do it. It should do it. You have Alexa, don't you, Dina Joe? No, she muted herself. Where'd you go, Dina Joe? What's going on? How come you left? Dina Joe. Anyway.
Unless she got an important phone call.
I tried to ask Alexa to play that, and it wouldn't do it. So I don't know if I have to go in and, like, program it or something. I don't know. She was making me mad, and then I shook my fist at her, and she said, thank you for the feedback. I was like,
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. I forgot what I was going to say. Well, that's fitting, though. It's fitting that I forgot what I was going to say because it's that time. We are out of here. Day is young. Day is new. Go out and have some fun today. Eric, you got some shows coming on today that you want to plug?
Well, John DeVito should be going live in 5 minutes. And in the Get to Know Your Podcaster series, it's going to feature Spiky and Scooter from the Beans and Weenie show. Unfortunately, you know, our guest from yesterday, Jeff Moore, is going to have to reschedule, unfortunately, because he caught COVID. But if he's listening to this episode, hopefully he starts feeling better. And anybody dealing with COVID, like Billy from Chucker and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea and Sunday Series, you know, hope y'all are feeling better. And we hope to have y'all back here on Podbean very soon. And be sure to check out the John Gale Show later on this evening at a special time of 8 p.m. Eastern. And be on lookout for Shannon Lynn and Mike Tampa Bay and a few other friends. And then Ralph and then Howl Growl Snarl tomorrow morning before we go live. And we hope to see you back here again, same time as always, tomorrow. And many more shows.
I touched a button. Sorry. Oh man, a lot of good podcasts. Man, what is going on?
And DeGray just posted his new one on. It's out there.
Oh, make sure you check that out. He's got a good show. Hey, don't forget to come in and visit us tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow. We're here every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific time. And you can catch us on the download through any of your favorite formats. We're out there on a whole bunch of them. I just applied for another one. We're trying to get on Pandora. We'll be getting on that one. And you, like I said, you can hear the replay of the show from WESN and the Strategies Network. We're out there, man. We are out there. Go to our Instagram page. Go to our Facebook page. Check out the stuff there. You can also go to our webpage and download the shows there on our webpage. Check out our little bios that we have on each other. Had a good time. And speaking of good times, it's time for the queen of good times. Dina G.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. That sounded terrible, what you just said. Yes, I know, Ralph.
The queen of good times.
The queen of good times. Woohoo!
Yeah, baby. Woohoo!
Welcome, Ride or Die. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. Have a great day. We love you. At least I love you guys. Have a great day. Yes. Bye. We're still mad at COVID.
Do too. Good grief. The queen of good grief, Dina Jill. you know I love ya.
Yeah,
good time. Get out there, do random acts of kindness. Be nice with people. Be polite. Yes. Open doors. Say hi. Say how's your day. Smile. Mm-hmm. Be of good cheer. It'll all come back to you tenfold.
It will. I'm
telling you. Yeah. Have a great time, everybody. Have a great day.
We love you too, DeGray.
Friday. Yeah.
Bye,
guys. All right. Our music's done. We're out of here.
Bye, rocking out. Thank you.
In the chat room. You crazy kids in the chat room. Hey, we're out of here. Have a good day. See you tomorrow, people.
See you later, everybody. Love you. God bless you all. See you around, Podbean.